as I wait, heart of God.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear New Life. Happy birthday. 10 years, is that right?
Yes, 10 years, and it's been a wonderful 10 years. And what we're going to be talking about today, what the sermon that you're going to hear on Sunday, really addresses the fact that God has done some really wonderful things over the past 10 years. But we don't want to be satisfied with that. We want to rejoice and look back. But we also want to say, Lord, we want you to do as many wonderful things over the next 10 years as you have. We don't want to say for 1 minute, okay, we've always done it like this, or we must do it the same. But to allow God to call us forward. And so that's reflected in the change in our mission statement, which is not because that our original mission statement, there was anything wrong with it, but we wanted to focus it. We wanted to focus it so that we could hold ourselves accountable to the call of the church to follow Jesus, and that we should be about encouraging one another. We should exist to encourage people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus.
Yeah, that's good. This church is nothing if it's not a dynamic congregation, always in change and always pushing for what the Lord is doing among us.
And so as we look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, the first of our questions addresses that denying yourself. Read carefully through a couple of the following passages. You can read them all if you like, but make sure you read at least a couple of them and answer these two weighty questions. What does it mean to deny oneself, hate the world, and lose one's life? And secondly, what might God be asking me to deny myself today, and how might I go about doing that?
Well, my favorite Brit in the world is the man I'm sitting next to, Jonathan, but my second favorite is C.S. Lewis. That guy did so much for the kingdom of God, and I believe it was the 1950s, he recorded a series of radio broadcasts, probably on the BBC, which later became the book Mere Christianity. In one of the last chapters of that book, a chapter entitled Is Christianity Hard or Easy? He examines the paradox in some of Jesus' statements. On the one hand, Jesus will say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But then on the next hand, he'll say, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Is it the first or is it the second? And he kind of works his way to a conclusion in which he says that really the question isn't between hard and easy. It's between something hard and difficult now and something impossible later. You cannot come to God on your own terms, but you must come to him on his terms. And we see in some of the passages listed in this question some of those hard statements of Jesus. Let me just breeze over a couple of them. He tells us in Matthew 7 that we must enter through the narrow gate, not the wide gate. He says also that he's not come to bring peace, but a sword. Of course, he was a prince of peace, but we need to examine together as a group, what does Jesus mean by these hard statements? Friendship with the world is enmity with God, he says, and we're called not to love the world or the things in the world. These passages are talking about a radical, singular devotion for God and God alone. And that's something that you really need to work out together in a group to understand.
Yeah, I mean, at first sight, so many of these things are paradoxes. And when you're confronted with a paradox, it's easy to turn around and say, oh, well, you can't understand that. They can't both be true. But the nature of God is that as we wrestle with that, they can be true. And we need to learn that putting God first means that there will be occasions when we have to say, I will not do that because I know, even though I want to, but I will not do it because God, I know that God doesn't want me to.
Yeah, so denying oneself might mean forming a short list of things that the Lord is asking you to lay aside. and maybe another list of things he's asking you to incorporate into
your
life.
You can, and maybe they're not, it's not like sort of denying yourself candy or denying yourself some of those things, but sometimes it means denying yourself the fact that, you know, everybody will like me. I'll take the risk that if I take this approach to something, there may be some people who don't like me.
Right. Jesus said, if they persecute me, they will also persecute you.
The second question is, if it's not bad enough that you have to deny yourself, we have to do this daily. C.S. Lewis again writes, the real problem of the Christian life comes the very moment you wake up in the morning. All your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists simply of shoving them all back and listening to the other, still, small voice. Which wild animals rushed at you this week? And what was that other voice saying in those moments? And what might it have looked like if you'd listened to it?
It's funny, in 1 Peter, it describes the devil as a wild animal, as a lion. And I think that one of the devil's most powerful tools is distraction, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Especially early in the morning, your to-do list comes rushing at you. What are all the things I need to get done today?
Have I checked my email? Did I get any Twitter messages?
Yeah, so it's the devil doesn't need to use overt, you know, nasty sin, but if he can simply divert our attention off of God and off of the things God's calling us to do, it's going to be harder and harder to listen for that other voice, to hear the promptings of the Spirit.
And that's really sort of a process of denial. I will deny myself my urge to check my email, to go on social media, to do that before I read my Bible or before I pray, or, you know, I will deny myself that urge. But yes, the thing about that is we need to do it every day.
That's right.
Yes, if you do it every day, it will become a habit. And you may not know that you're doing it on a daily basis, but to start, but the reality of us as human beings is that that denial of so many of the things that we want to do needs to happen regularly. Sometimes it's even more than daily. Sometimes it's hourly or even minutely. The third question recognizes that we need to have a complete gospel. Many of us are familiar with the Bible verse, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for evil, and to give you a future and a hope. Oftentimes the gospel is explained with this verse alone. Come to Jesus and he'll make your life better. Is that true? You have to be careful, because that's a trick question. How does Luke 9:23-26 highlight what's missing from that description of the Christian life?
I suppose the first thing we ought to address is, what do we mean by trick question?
Yes, that would be good.
So is it true that
come to Jesus and he'll make your life better?
It certainly is true, isn't it? The peace that Jesus offers, is the way in which he answers your prayers and listens to you, all of that is so true, but there are aspects missing to it as well. I mean, it's true that, you know, here and now the Lord will do these things for us, and in the future he is even now preparing a place for us. We will rule and reign with him side by side on the new earth where righteousness dwells, and where we're promised that it will be also the dwelling place of God, will be with us, with man. But I think that so much of the motivational structure in the Bible is really hinging on delayed gratification, placing our hope not exclusively in this life, but in the life to come as well.
Yes, and the way in which Jesus makes our life, in a sense, and really does make our life better,
right,
is because we have somebody who we can trust, and he tells us that our pain, our suffering, our challenges have a purpose rather than feeling like mm-hmm. they are meaningless. And so in that sense, when you know you can go through challenges when you know that they have a purpose, and in that sense he makes that better, and that's the plan that he has for us, a plan that means that we that what happens here has a purpose mm-hmm. and eternity is there in the future.
Right. There is purpose behind difficulty, purpose behind trial, purpose behind suffering. And I think maybe a lot of people outside the church might call that a pie in the sky mentality, where we're just waiting for the heavenly reward. But there, it's richer than that. It's deeper than that. It's the theology of the cross, which in which we accept the humiliation that our Savior went through, and we join with him in the exaltation of his resurrection.
Mm. Now the last question really sort of in a sense addresses all of those things, because it recognizes that in this denial of self and the routine of making that happen every day, and the recognition that we're going to go through some stuff here, means that we have to count the cost. Denial of self is costly. Jesus was aware of that, and in Luke 14, he commanded his would-be disciples to count the cost before deciding to follow him. Read Luke 14, 25 to 33, and together count the cost of denying yourself and the world. What would you stand to lose? But then read Matthew 13, 44 to 46, and consider together what you would stand to gain from making that denial.
Right, yeah, we're really sitting on this idea of paradox this week.
Right.
With what it costs, but what you'll gain as well. And in that first passage in Luke 14, it's really a startling passage. It's not found in any of the other Gospels. It's just there in Luke. And in Luke 14, Jesus is talking to his would-be disciples, and he's saying that just like you make other decisions very seriously, and you count the cost when making other decisions, do the same before you decide to follow me. It shouldn't be light and easy and quick and flippant. The two metaphors that he provides are of someone who decides to build a tower. He must first see whether he has the resources to complete that project. And the second is about a general who is going out to war. He must number his soldiers and compare that with the enemy's forces to see, will I be able to win this battle? If not, he has to seek peace.
Because, and earlier we've seen that Jesus makes it very clear that you can't serve two masters. Choosing to serve one master means that you will choose not to serve another master.
That's right.
And there will be a cost to that. Mm. Andy Stanley puts it like this. He says, we all have to choose to cheat something, because we don't have enough time or enough resources to do everything that everybody wants us to do. And therefore, we have to make a choice. We will cheat somebody.
Yeah.
He makes it very clear that as a pastor, he will always choose to cheat his church rather than his family. But the concept that we have to recognize that there is a cost to every decision that we make, and we need to count it and recognize it.
It's a provocative statement. Yeah. So I think it would be valuable for you guys to list some of the costs of following Jesus. Here in Pacifica, 2017, what are the costs of being a Christian? But even more generally, here's a short quote by a commentator on this passage who says that we are to expect difficulties in religion. It will cost us the mortification of our sins and a life of self-denial and a conflict with our lusts and the enmity and ridicule of the world, perhaps, for some. It may even cost us, our reputation, our lives and liberties, all that is dear to us, but we must see the overwhelming value of what we gain through a relationship with the Lord and the promises thereafter.
I'm not sure that everybody will understand what it means to the mortification of our sins.
It's a lovely word. It's a
wonderful word. But, you know, it basically means that, you know, if we decide to follow Jesus, we're actually deciding not to do very often the things that we want to do. And we've talked often about sin being anything that takes the place of Jesus in our lives, that takes the lordship of Jesus, that takes the fact that he is in charge. And so to say that we need to actually choose not to have something is a cost, and that we have mortified.
That's right. Putting to death lesser gods in favor of the pearl of great price.
Yeah. Well, we hope you're going to really enjoy these questions, although they probably will be challenging and painful. But, you know, when it's challenging and painful, God is causing us to, and asking us, do you want to grow with me? And hopefully, together, we're going to help each other say yes.
All right, guys. Again, we'll be praying for you.
As I wait.